Good morning. All right, welcome to the Garden State Church. If you're visiting with us, we're very excited to have you here. And, you know, we are a part of the Northeast Counties, which encompasses Bergen County, Essex County, Hudson County, Passaic County, and Union County. And we are simply disciples of Jesus who are trying to plant Christ in our communities. And so we are thankful that you're here. If you're worshiping with us on YouTube or Zoom or whatever else we got going on, it's great to have you here. And let's give it up for the Roberts and for Mama Claudia. Nicole, I don't know about you, but I felt well welcomed. Like I'm right there in your living room, and it's great to have that. You know, today you may notice that you know the college students aren't here with us because they are having their own spring retreat. And see, caucus and over 150 college students from the Northeast area have come to New Jersey, and they're having a great time there, worshiping God and learning to live like Jesus. And so that's really exciting news. You know, today is Palm Sunday. Now, growing up, I always wondered why they gave out these like leaf things. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what that meant until I read my Bible, until I learned and understood. You know, this is the beginning of Jesus coming to ultimately die. And you know, next Sunday is an amazing opportunity because a lot of people go to church, Easter and Christmas. Well, let's invite him to come to our church and to hear the word of God and be encouraged. With that, it is Women's History Month. And we are recognizing, amen, let's give it up for the Women's History Month. We are recognizing women who've made a difference in history. And it's amazing because in the Bible, there are several amazing examples of women who made a difference in history. And so today we're going to study about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we're going to look at her journey, her origin story. And we're going to glean some things from it. So turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 1, because we're going to get into the word. And then we're going to hear what God has to say to us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for this time that we have. And I pray as we read your word that you will move our hearts. God, we do want to say a special prayer regarding the mass shootings that occurred. And we pray that you be with the casualties and the families that have been affected by that. And God, we just, again, we pray that you would bring peace where there is no peace, that you would make a way in the darkest situations. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of today's message is Mary, Because She Believed. Luke chapter 1, let's start in verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which have come, which will come true at the appointed time." Now, Russ, you're saying, wait a minute, you said we're going to talk about Mary. Why are we talking about Zechariah? Well, he's a part of the story. They were cousins. The angel Gabriel comes to the temple where Zechariah works. He is a man who's in the community. He's well known. He's quote unquote successful. But he's got some stuff going on. In the back of his mind, there's a painful, unfulfilled dream. See, for years, he and Elizabeth had been praying. They wanted to have a kid, and it wasn't happening. And days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, months turned into years. And as he served God and as he helped people, this desire was not being fulfilled. And he begged, and he kept going after this desire. And you know, sometimes when you do something for a long time and it doesn't happen, doubt begins to creep into your mind. And you know, if you don't watch and deal with that doubt can become disappointment, which can then lead to unbelief. And I can imagine at times he and Elizabeth felt unseen by God. I can imagine that they felt like, "God, do you notice? Do you hear my prayers?" And then at some point, you can just resign to the fact that this is just how it's going to be. So you got to put yourself here. When this angel tells him that you're going to have a son, he's a little cautious. In fact, I think he's even a little more cautious, like, "Yeah, right." Because he's been disappointed that God hasn't come through for him. Maybe there's some fears You know, where you don't want to get too excited, because the thought of getting excited and having hope and having zeal for what's going to happen gets shattered when it doesn't happen. You know, I was one of those types of kids. Somebody told me something, they promised me something, and I was like, woohoo, yeah! And when that didn't happen, man, I get broken. Well, that happens enough in your life, you stop getting excited. Because you don't want to go through that again. You don't want to get all excited. You don't want to get all hyped to be disappointed. There's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever feel like that? That's where he's coming from. Zechariah was faced with a decision when that angel came and talked to him. Will I believe and risk being disappointed? Or is it easier to just stay over here in doubt and say, we'll see? You know, do you, let's make it personal. Do you have an unfulfilled dream like Zechariah does? Is there something that you hoped for, that you believed it would happen by this time, this would happen by that time, this is happening, and now it's not happened? Maybe those dreams had to do with having a child like Zechariah, or maybe it has to do with dating, or maybe it has to do with, you know, physical health or emotional health. When these deep desires, deep inside of us, the things that make us click, when they go unmet, it can lead us into unbelief. And we can begin to think things like, God, you really don't care. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm staying away from this. I'm trying. What's up, Lord? Or we can even think, not only does he care, this area of my life doesn't matter to him. He's just concerned about my faithfulness. He's just concerned about this or this. He's just concerned about that. See, when we carry these types of thoughts in our hearts and minds, what we can do then is we can pursue other things, right? We can pursue things to distract us from the hurt that we really, really feel. And so now we're about improving our behavior, or we're about, you know, trying to find ways to feel successful, or maybe we're throwing ourselves into ventures to achieve goals and work on ourselves, trying to make something happen, and we do it on our own. And here's the thing, there's nothing wrong with that, other than the fact that we are limited. We can only go but so far. And see, like Zechariah, when disappointment turns to unbelief, we are faced with what we see as impossible. And now we have to make a choice. Will we only rely on what we can accomplish, or believe God when he promises, or believe God when his promises seem out of reach? That's where he was. That's the situation that he was facing. The thing I love about this story is Zechariah's unbelief didn't prevent his prayers from being answered. Did you hear me? Zechariah's unbelief didn't prevent his prayers from being answered. But he was unable to enjoy this process that he was in. Let me ask you. Let me click that there. How much do doubt and fear stop you or me from enjoying the process of seeing God unfold his plan in our lives? Chief, think about that. Because sometimes it is affecting us in a way that we're not continuing to see the big picture. And part of that has to do with how we think and how we think something should go and how we think something should be. And God's like, no, I actually got a plan. No, I got a way. And so we got to continue to learn. All right, now let's get to Mary. Verse 26. You with me, church? Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel. There's Gabriel again. Gabriel's in the house. Watch out. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now, I want you to listen to the description of what this child is going to be like that's coming out of her body. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," said Mary, "since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month." Catch it, church. "For no word from God will ever fail. For no word of God will ever fail." Do you believe that? Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Now, I want us to imagine for a minute. Imagine you are Mary. You know, the world is not kind to teenage girls. Yet God chose a teenage girl, someone who was not known and high in status in that day. He chose a teenage girl to bring the Son of God into the world and have the most impactful birth in history. What does that say about God? It reminds me of Isaiah 55. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God doesn't do it the way we think it should be done. You know, I'm telling you, there's a lesson right there. If I thought that way more often, it would make me go to God to say, "Which way do we go? What do I do?" But what does it say to us? One of the things that God values is humility. Why does he choose a teenage girl? Mary was humble. Now, we know that they were poor, they didn't have much, based on the sacrifices that they made, that you could see her situation. But if you skip down to verse 52, in her song, she says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. You know, God is looking for humble people. God is looking for people who see their need for him. God is looking for people who want to be close to him. Not be close to him to get what they want, but they got everything that they need because they are close to him. God is looking for people who will trust his process and not their own process or time frame. You know, I love how both Mary and Zechariah asked questions when the angel came to them. And I think this is really important to see the difference. See, they both had questions, but behind those questions is what set them apart. See, Zechariah seemed to be asking out of doubt, out of unbelief. And let me just say, hey, if you've been around for a minute, you've been around for some time, age is a factor that can affect your faith. Because, man, you've been disappointed a lot more. And so you got to continue to hold on to that faith. Mary, she asked out of curiosity. She asked out of faith. And it's amazing that this teenage girl, who, again, we'll talk about it in a minute, God put her in a mess. But see, I want to ask you a question. How can you know if you're being like Zechariah? Well, it's how you respond. It's how you respond to the word. It's how you respond. Is it, yeah, but, yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. Well, I've tried that, been there, done that. I've heard people, that's the most prideful thing anybody can say. Because everything is, and every day is different. But our response, see, I think Zechariah had that response that Mark 9, the man who came, brought his kids to the disciples and asked them to heal him, and then they couldn't do it, and he was like, Lord, I believe, I'm here, help me with my unbelief. You know what I'm saying? I think we all live in that, you know, atmosphere. But Zechariah, he says, how will I know this will happen? How can I be sure? I want some guarantees. Because I don't want to be disappointed again. See, he needed to learn to trust God's process. But you know what God did? He said, I'm going to teach you, Zechariah. I'm going to teach you in silence. You know, I remember reading that thinking, okay, is God punishing him? I don't think so. You know, you learn a lot when it's quiet. When you're not talking. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we talk too much. Talk. And it's like, you're not learning if you're talking. And he needed to learn during this time. And so God shut his mouth so he could listen and he can learn. And again, in that you know, in that time, the custom was you would name the kid, the first one at least, after the father. Well, man, when they asked Zechariah, what are you going to name him? He took that thing. John is his name. Because I'm not fighting. I'm not going against what the Lord said. And miraculously, he could talk after that. See, we learn more in silence rather than talking. You know, there's a proverb that says, when words are many, sin is not absent. Oh, you guys know that, right? Yeah, amen. Be careful to be a listener. But let's talk about how can we be more like Mary? And we said it. Mary was humble. Humility, let's talk about humility is our ability, hear it, check it, to get beyond ourselves. To stop trying to control things. To stop trying to make it happen. To stop trying to call the shots. And instead learning to trust God's process. Not what we think. Not what we feel. You know, it's kind of hard to see this, but I'm actually going to have Sherry send it out tomorrow. But I got a list here of, it's called the attitudes of the heart, pride versus humility. This is an amazing Bible study. It's a great quiet time because you don't realize how it's so ingrained in us that we need God to help us to really learn how to be humble. You know, on the left-hand side is the prideful thoughts. I know what's best in this situation. The humble attitude says, let me seek counsel. Let me seek guidance. Another prideful attitude is, I must always be right and have the last word. That's the people that are trying to help you understand what they said. And they keep saying it over and over and over again because you ain't getting it. Rather than having that attitude, be willing to back down when you're wrong. There's another one. Quarrels in relationship. You know, this is one I struggle with, and mostly in my marriage. And I say, God, I am not arguing with Sari. And then something happens. Well, what about this? And before you know it, there's quarreling going on. How did that happen? I forgot what I said. I wasn't going to do. Humility has peace in relationships. Again, I'll, you know, get that out to you. But what's your attitude? What's your attitude? Not how you act and come across. Look, we can fake the funk, as they say. But you want to know how you know what's up in people? Challenge them. Talk to them about something that you see in their life. Point something out. You know, here's what bothers me. If I go to work, you can challenge me all you want because it's connected to something else. Right? But if you really acted the way you wanted to act, you might be fired. But you learn that self-control, right? You learn how to act a certain way, right? Why not with God? Where it really matters. But we got to keep growing in humility because that's what God loved about Mary. Here's my point this morning. Because she believed, God did an amazing miracle. A virgin became pregnant. and gave birth to the Son of God. See, when we trust God, we submit to His way. See, Mary's process was, I get engaged, I get married, and then I have children. That was her thinking. God introduces Himself to her as she's probably walking down the street thinking about, this Joseph and where they're going to go and have a date or whatever. And God says, you're going to get engaged. You're going to have a baby. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done according to your will. I want you to see what happens when we trust God's process. I got this picture, February 25th, 6:22 p.m. I know that's specific, but bear with me. Welcome back, Murdochs. I just wanted to thank you for praying for my sister, Sandrine. She is close to being baptized in Barbados. Here's a picture of her in the glasses with the sister, the ministry leader. Keep on praying. Thank you for always asking about her. So, this is March 11th, 2004. I'm sorry, 2000. Thank you. This is the ocean in Barbados. And we're waiting for the big wave to come. And there's Sandrine. And whoosh! I asked Beverly Murray if I could share that with the church. And Beverly texted me and she said, how long has she been, praying? She said, as long as I can remember, but especially after her having a stroke in 2018, when I was asking the church for prayers for her, I saw how God humbled her and her religiosity diminished. She asked me late last year to study the Bible with her because she felt like she was missing something. I know that she loved God and our Father brought her into His kingdom. Beverly had been praying 38 years to see what God just did. What an example of faithfulness. What an example of faithfulness to God. Not, I do this, you do this. Year after year, month after month, week after week, day after day. It's beautiful. That's one of the things I love about our church. Examples like that all around. Why do we doubt? Why do we wonder? Why aren't we like, oh yeah, God, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. Because we don't believe and expect it. And if we got to wait 38 years, well, 37 years more to go. But I'm going to keep praying because He's faithful. Mary's response to this. Verse 46, let's read together and we've wrapped it up. Her world's been turned upside down. And listen to what she says. This is her song. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their, look, check it out, inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. See, our response is the most important part of what we do when we hear the word of God. See, we can learn from Zechariah's example that God is faithful. We can be righteous, devout, well off, successful, and yet we struggle with doubt and unbelief. He learned in silence that God is in control and God fulfills his promises. Let's remember Mary's example. Teens, age is not a factor. God wants to work with teens. He loves teens. But humility is the key. Mary trusted God's word and God's process. And because she believed, she became the mother of Jesus. She saw God as he is and discovered her greater purpose and plan for her life. See, we have to decide to believe God and allow him to fulfill his plans. You know, today is a special day because a few weeks ago, our sister Christine, where's she at? I seen her over there. Christina, yes, she is. Yeah, stand up for. She got baptized into Christ, right? And that's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. Well, she reached out to Jonathan. Jonathan came to church. He began to start studying the Bible. He began to start seeking God's plan. And Nick and Tom helped him out. And so today at 5 o'clock, Jonathan is going to make Jesus Lord and find God's purpose for his life. So, if you want to come on over to the Hughes's Casa at 35 Jefferson Place in Totowa, at 5 o'clock, Jonathan is going to make Jesus Lord of his life. Church, let's choose to believe God like Mary did. Let's stay faithful in prayer like Zechariah did. And let's see God fulfill his plan in our lives, because all things are possible with him. Amen. Yeah.